Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. It's Monday, January 25th. We have a Super Bowl. They did it. They got it down to two teams somehow, Charlotte. And it is what? I wasn't really paying attention. It's Tampa Bay and Kansas City?
Yeah, it sure is. It is the most laden with storylines. I'm sick of it already. I'm sick of it already, Sal, but we got a Super Bowl.
Did you know, Charlotte? I don't know if anyone's brought this up, but this is the first time a team has played in their home field. This is not going to... Did you hear this before? I want to be on record saying it first, but
yeah, no, Tampa Bay. Tampa's playing in Tampa.
It's the Tampa facility where they're playing. Yeah.
So Dave, it's a home Super Bowl?
Never happened before. I'm telling you right now.
Why are people talking about that?
Yeah. I don't know. They should talk about it. I feel like they should have a couple more days to talk about it. And that's it. We got to put a limitation on that.
They got 2 weeks, Sal.
On Brady being the oldest quarterback ever. But FanDuel, Dave, has set this up at Kansas City -3. And it was open at 57.5, which was the largest over-under in history. Now down to 56.5. Still a giant number. I don't know where to start here. Let's start with our extra points for extra pay parlay, which lost because of me. Thank you. I had Green Bay. We had a nice line, -1.5. And that game was insane. I'm going to be honest with you. I had a Zoom funeral to attend during the third quarter of that game. So obviously,
was it Aaron Rodgers's?
Yeah, it was Aaron Rodgers.
Oh my! And I'm looking back.
I'm doing back and forth. It was our friend Dave, David Weinstein, David. And so and he's very funny in his eulogy and everything. And I'm trying to catch both and cursing at the TV and tearing up and also laughing at Weinstein's eulogy. But anyway,
that is so dark.
Good Lord, those Packers. I know, there was a lot going on. I had like a sport jacket on. I'm like, I'm going to hide myself. Why? Everyone's hidden here.
I never have considered the Zoom rules for a funeral. So you put on a jacket, not a tie, though.
I put on a jacket, and then I saw like 80%, like there were 75 people in the room, about 80% were hidden. And they were,
I see.
And we kept, you know, we checked every 8 seconds to make sure we were muted because, you know, something inappropriate was coming out on this end. But we were. But that is the way to go. I have to say, Zoom funerals. Everyone spoke afterwards and they did it in a nice tribute and you don't have to be around. And it was good. Anyway, as Charlotte pointed out, another Zoom funeral for the Green Bay Packers and their coaching staff. My God, I don't remember to the end of both halves being screwed up as much in one game as they were for this Packers game. Mike Pettine pulling the Greg Williams, a guy was fired for employing the defense that he did at the end of the first half, which allowed Tom Brady to go down and throw a bomb to Scotty Miller. They were about to punt the ball, and then cooler heads prevailed. They're like, let's take a shot at the end zone. It was there. I don't know. No safety help. No nothing. Dave, what did you think of that play? That was insane.
I mean, I thought it was just insane, and I felt a little bad for Kevin King giving that one up. He had some responsibility there getting smoked like that. But yeah, it's on the coordinator. I tried to blur my eyes and eliminate any bad calls or blown plays by anybody who wasn't named Brady or Rodgers in that one, and just tried to drink in the enormity of the moment for both of those guys and what we're going to be thinking about in 2 weeks and 2 years and 20 years from now and what this means and how significant it is. And people like to diminish it, but it's what we've been talking about. Certainly I've been talking about now for not just the last few weeks, but I guess for the last, 20 years. I love these stakes games. I love what these games mean. And now we have another one, imperfect though it is. I preferred Rodgers versus Mahomes and what that would mean for those two guys. And if Rodgers had gotten one, obviously now Rodgers, whether you like it or not, can no longer ever try to claim I'm the greatest quarterback of all time. That game yesterday, those were the stakes for him. Now instead we have this pass the torch game between Brady, the all-time greatest, and you have to blur your eyes, speaking of which, where he's concerned, because this thing that, you know, like everybody else, I've decreed Tom Brady's obviously the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, and it's our most beloved game, so he's the greatest athlete of all time. He now has outstripped Michael Jordan and anyone else in that regard. But the confusing part about Tom Brady is your eyes can see he's not the most talented guy out there. So what gives? It really is
he's 43. Enormity, he's 43. Maybe we should.
Even when he was 30, right in his prime, you wouldn't say that's the most talented guy I've ever seen do it. You would never make that claim. But it's really just it defies. I hate when people say I don't have the words. Well, then you should get a thesaurus and learn some words. But in this case, I don't know that we have the available words to describe that this guy, it just makes no sense. It's thrown everything out of whack.
Yeah.
That Tom Brady, 10 Super Bowls. What?
It's insanity.
Well, first of all, I don't know what to say about it. When you say everybody else is saying the same thing.
When you say Aaron Rodgers had a chance to make a claim for being the greatest, I disagreed. I didn't think going into that was up for grabs. I think maybe he could pass Montana or be on par with Montana with another Super Bowl win. But when you talk about Tom Brady, we'll go over his accomplishments. And by the way, I don't want to do this. Charlotte's not one of them, but I have a lot of Patriots fan friends. Dave, you do too. The biggest assholes you'll ever meet. I don't want to toot Tom Brady's horn.
Thank you. That's actually a very high compliment.
Yes,
that you would preface that.
But when he has 33 playoff wins, which is like 20 more than second place or double second place, like no one's catching that. No one's catching that in our lifetime, Dave. That's what's scary. Like, okay, he's the greatest ever. Now let's go on to the next one. I think Mahomes is the only choice, the only hope to see someone better than Brady in our lifetime. Like, we're running out of years is basically what I'm saying.
If Tom Brady can play till he's 43, you guys can stick around long enough to see if Mahomes can also play until he's 43.
No, but if you see how I eat, you would never.
But I'll be senile by then. I won't remember. Right. Brady, okay. Right.
Fair.
Who's the Brady?
I do think though. I think I Dave, when you say like you know, you look at Brady and you don't think he doesn't play like a Mahomes. He doesn't sort of defy physics in the same way. I think part of it. Because I've been, you know, obviously I've been thinking nonstop about this because as a Pats fan, like, and I wrote an article about, I don't have to get into that because it's kind of boring at this point, honestly, but I hoped maybe for other Pats fans, it might be somewhat cathartic of like, I don't know how to feel. It is the weirdest sports, like fandom thing I've ever had to deal with Brady being in the Super Bowl with another team. But I think that part of what has contributed to his being so great is he just sticks around. He shows up. He keeps playing, and he keeps playing at a high enough level that he defies whatever odds against. Like if you play that, it's sort of statistics, right? If you play that much and you're that good, even if you don't look like a Mahomes or whatever, you're going to do well and you're going to win. But I also think it's the less tangible stuff. I think he's an incredible team leader. I think that you saw, Dave, I saw you tweet about this and I'd picked up on it too. When he was giving his speech at the end of the, you know, he said, let's get some other guys up here. You know, he didn't want to hog the spotlight. And I know from talking to the guys who run his social media, and this is, it seems like a very silly thing. You know, I was obsessed with his fake newspaper that he did on Instagram. Mm. But when I talked to them, they said, we had to run each one by Tom so that we weren't making him too much of the only hero. He made them take him out of one of the comics because he felt that it didn't highlight the other guys enough and it made him seem like too much of a, you know, god in it. And I think he's really good at rallying a locker room. I think he's the kind of guy that he steps into the locker room, you're like, oh, cool, dad's home, we're going to be okay. And then he takes you out onto the field and does what he's done. He has this unbelievable confidence and coolness that I do think makes up for whatever, the fact that he can't run, you know?
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, yeah, Dave, you're right. And Charlie, you're right. Like, he's not as athletic as a Lamar Jackson or so many others that we've seen. Doesn't have the arm strength of Josh Allen, but he has it. And to Charlotte's point, guys want to play with him. Antonio Brown wants to play with him. Gronk's career is over. He wants to play with him. Not to mention all the defensive players that Tampa got in the mix because Tom Brady was the quarterback. And it's not Charlotte. I read your article. You kind of put it perfectly. No making excuses. Simply the greatest to ever do it. 10 Super Bowls means it's no fluke. You want to say he got help yesterday? He had 3 interceptions. It wasn't his best game. Fine. He struck when he needed to. And damn it, they're in the freaking Super Bowl again. How it happens, I don't know, and I don't care anymore. The numbers are just overwhelming. And you might have said, forget it, close the book on it after he beat Atlanta in the Super Bowl, because that was one where he stepped up and it wasn't a Coach Belichick thing. It's like, okay, boom. And then since then, he's won another one against the Rams, and now he's here again. You can't say enough about it. You really can't.
I mean, we've now transcended mere pro football QB talk and now extended it to Michael Jordan and anyone else you want to bring up.
Different sports.
That. And, you know, first of all, there is something of the Frank Gore effect where Tom Brady's concerned, which is to say that he was never an electric physical specimen. So he hasn't lost that. Like if your game is based around, let's say Cam Newton's style of ball, well, it's going to be diminishing returns, or Ben Roethlisberger even taking shots and everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to imagine either one of those two guys playing at 43 at a high level, because so much of their game has been predicated, their success has been on their physical attributes, shoving off other giant human beings, running away from those guys and everything else. Tom Brady was never that. He was never that when he was 26. So he hasn't lost anything in that regard. He's only gotten sharper, but it really,
but
is
it wasn't
remarkable
in that we mentioned Joe Montana. He wasn't like that either, right? Not a great physical specimen, but just a presence, right? It's something you can't even really explain. But other than that,
I think he's back again. I think the closest you can get to explaining it is that he has, if he doesn't have, I mean, first of all, I think that he is a pretty remarkable physical specimen in terms of, like, being a quarterback in the NFL is so hard. Getting to a Super Bowl is so hard. You have to have an innate athleticism, whether that's, you know, Lamar Jackson who can run, or, you know, Josh Allen's arm, as you said. But I also think that he has such an unbelievable read of defenses, and he has so much practice that he knows where guys are going to be. It's instinct at this point. Even if his reflexes aren't, you know, say they're like half, you know, a point millisecond slower than they used to be, he still has this unbelievable knowledge of the game and the practice to know where everything's coming from. That's worth more than being fast, honestly. Even if the game has changed to where pocket passers aren't doing as much as they used to, he's so good at it that does it. And I mean, he'll still make mistakes. Like, he threw 3 picks, but it's like, you can't explain these things away. You can't be like, oh, well, he still threw 3 picks, or like, oh, well, the Pats cheated, or like, oh, well, he got lucky calls. It's like, those things, it doesn't matter at this point. Enough things have happened that are not that you can't say.
Yeah, we have a pretty good sample size at this point.
Yeah, right. Well, and to those who wish to ascribe this to outsized good luck with Tom Brady, it's funny because people insist. I mean, after the game, it gives me no pleasure to anoint Tom Brady clearly.
That's what I'm saying. I feel the same way.
Of our lifetime, but
boy, oh boy, you really got to go deep in the well of cynicism to try and to suggest that Tom Brady is just fluked his way into this. Of course, there are lucky events, Tuck Rule, and starting there, and as recently as 3 bad interceptions, and he's got lucky that Mike Pettine threw that defense at him, and everything in between. But of course, you know, Mario Manningham's catch and David Tyree's catch and Wes Welker's drop, and I can summon any number of things that went against Tom Brady that kept him from having even more,
totally.
Obviously. But I think the thing, and I get why high-end athletes who are in full control of, like Charlotte says, with their social media and beyond, and what you're allowed to ask. I mean, these quarterbacks, I don't know if the general public is fully aware of it. You know why you don't see Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or anybody else as available as you see, like, the second cornerback on NFL teams? They are able to restrict and insulate themselves largely from all that sort of stuff. I get why they don't like, ultimately, when they're the man in their sports town, they don't like other people. Like, you don't get to determine my narrative. I remember Brett Favre and Peyton Manning both saying that, scolding the media. You're not in charge of my narrative. No, we are. We do get to tell the story. And let me tell you this story. I get why they don't like it. I don't know why fans don't like it, because that's the whole point of us watching sports. So let's do the math here and now. Tom Brady is going to his 10th Super Bowl now. He's already won 6 of them. Is that right? He's won 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan did not do this with the Wizards. Tom Brady has now traveled the success away from Belichick. There is no sort of like Jerry Rice without Montana or vice versa. That jive is over with. Michael Jordan left the bubble of the Bulls and went to the Wizards and was fine, but he didn't do what Tom Brady has just done. Wayne Gretzky went to the Los Angeles Kings. They succeeded. They didn't win a title, and the Edmonton Oilers were still so loaded up with talent that they went and won the Stanley Cup without him. The Patriots, conversely, fell on their face. I think this is fascinating, and this is we've never seen anything like this. Brady's the best, and now the real question, and I'm not just poking at you, Charlotte, or Patriots fans, how do you feel about Bill Belichick? Is 2021 now massive for Bill Belichick's legacy? Oh, you're a dummy if you think that matters. I think it matters, and I think it will matter to people in 25 years from now if Bill Belichick never does anything without Tom Brady. How say you, Sal? Did Belichick watch this game? Is he now nervous about, I better put something special together, because it looks pretty clear now that Tom Brady was the driver, and I was thinking about this.
I was thinking about this, and if Belichick was a swell guy, he would for charity, he would put up a seat next to him to view Super Bowl 55. Like, how much would that fetch to watch Super Bowl 55 with Bill Belichick? And maybe it would be boring. Maybe he would just sit there and grunt for 4 hours and through the halftime show and everything else. But be pretty special. I would love to see it. He can't be rooting for Tom here, right, Charlotte?
I honestly think that Belichick is part of the reason, obviously, that New England got where they got. And I think he's also the reason that it fell apart. I think if you can't say, if you're both the GM and the coach and you let your roster deteriorate to the point where Tom Brady does not have the weapons or the protection that he needs to do what he clearly can still do. I almost wanted Tom to move on from New England. I was like, you know what? He's not looking like the same Tom. We're going to need to get another quarterback eventually. And he clearly knew something that fans couldn't see, which was, I can still do this and I'm getting screwed over here, which he took pay cuts to stay in New England. And I'm wondering, if you're Tom Brady, are you a little pissed right now? Are you like, oh, I clearly could have done this with another team?
Yeah.
Or is it this, like, maybe there was some magic there that couldn't have existed somewhere else, but it's hard to say that now. And I am a little pissed. I'm like, oh my God, I think Belichick's hubris, Belichick's own, the do your job, the being obnoxious with the media, all the things that as Pats fans, you were kind of like, oh, well, this is what it takes. I think that's what sunk them. I think if Belichick had any sense of, if he were able to even make fun of himself a little more, or like, have any fun, I don't know that Tom would have left. I don't know. I think it would have been like the most insane dynasty of all time. And now it still is, but there's a mark on it. And I'm kind of pissed. But I go back and forth. I'm like, do I want him to win or do I want him not? Like, yeah, I think at this point I'm like, let's just seal the deal. Like, let's just give him 7 rings, greatest of all time, move on. I don't know.
I think this is basically a Belichick Zoom funeral right now.
This is what we're doing. I was pissed last night. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, you put him up there with, like, his best bet in some games last year was Sony Michel, like, with a bum.
Well, that's
knee.
The
Are
thing.
You kidding
me? They didn't draft the shiny pieces that we had. And I want to come back to breaking down this Packers game. I will say, Dave, the one thing that Michael Jordan, and this is because of his arrogance, he could have had the opportunity to get stars on the Bullets with him, right? And he kind of turned it down. He's like, no,
good
no,
for
no.
you going yeah. bullets. Good for yeah. you, Spider. I
wait,
like that.
Wait, was it bullets back then? Wasn't it bullets?
No, it was Wiz. He was on it the Wiz. But I don't care. Shit, I'm go sorry. Bullets. Yeah. It's such a dumb
all right.
thing.
I anyway. Forgot. Yeah, that's right. It was the Wiz. That's right. It was Wizards. The Wizards. But he could have had.
That's
he
a top 10 worst sports name. I'm, it's really
they wear turquoise Wizards, and black
like,
in our
okay,
nation.
Merlin.
What country Berlin. Are you representing? You play in Washington, D.C., standardly, red, white, and blue. Anyway, please continue.
Let me go back to this. So anyway, Jordan did have the opportunity to win with the Wizards or Bullets or whatever, but he was too arrogant to do what everyone does now is create a super team with free agents, you know, the top free agents mm-hmm. around you. So he didn't do that. That said, Brady's the best, and now I want to play Devil's Damashek. That defense, Mike Pettine, not even the last play of the half, but it was really three jump balls in the first half that Brady had that had them with a 21-10 lead. The Godwin one was a jump ball. I don't understand the one-on-one coverage with all these guys. He ended up completing all of them. And it was looking like we were going to, if you go by those first half stats, we were going to have a classic Rodgers Brady last drive. It ended up being pretty much last drive anyway, but second half was so bad. Like Rodgers came back, but he was like 5 for 12 in the fourth quarter. Like they fell apart and then not going for it. That was the first time since 2015. Dan Quinn was the last coach to not go for it down more than 5 points in like 3 or 4 minutes left. And what is that saying, Dave? I know you want to get into it later with the coaching carousel, but Rodgers was, of course he's pissed. I'm the freaking MVP. Give me a chance to win this game. You're going to give it Mike Pettine's defense there. That's what you're relying on here to stop Brady. And you're going to kick off right around the 2 minute warning. That seemed insane. And everybody jumped on it. And by the end, I was like, all right, everyone's got this take. So I'll back off. But looking at it now, bizarre decision.
Well, you can't now blame because a lot of people, including Jeff Schwartz, have been like, see, these are the reasons why you have to have an offensive head coach because they're more progressive. It's like, well, I guess that reason is out the window. That made zero sense, obviously, in the moment. It wasn't 2020 hindsight. Everybody immediately reacted to it, that this was a weird move. Yeah, that was, yes, we can nitpick all these things. And you know, it's the game moves on, and then so does actual time move along. And so you don't settle down and really focus on it. But there was clear PI. By
Devontae
Tampa.
Adams.
Who was that? I mean, the hole blatantly. I mean,
the jersey hole.
A couple of things. Yes, a couple of things. First of all, I do think that Aaron Rodgers acquitted himself nicely. I mean, the world was crumbling around him immediately. They fell behind. The nightmare scenario for a team that's heavily favored at home. Like, oh my God, we're down double digits at home and everything else, or they go down 7. Some of those throws he was making in the first half to get them back into the game.
When he's rolling out of the end zone, they're down. They're about to go down 2 touchdowns if he doesn't, or at least 10 points, you know. And
yeah,
and
they're right.
Hits Lazard with a 30-yard bullet. Could have been holding in the end zone. Could have been a sack for a safety. But yeah, he dug them out for sure there.
But I'll also say that, you know, to Brady's point, like, you know, he in that 60-minute stretch and he emerges the hero. And I lament, you know, when the Ravens won the Super Bowl 8 years ago, that the only thing coming out of that was asking every guy on the team, like, do you feel good for Ray Lewis? Like, I feel good for me. So I feel good. I won the Super Bowl too. And same thing with the Steelers in '05. Like, hey, Jerome Bettis won the Super Bowl in his hometown. Yeah, I won the Super Bowl too. I'm happy for me. Tom Brady deferring, a guy who deserves a big shout out. He's a giant human being, is Vita Vea, because what really determined the game, not only that the Packers were trying to play catch up for the vast majority of the game, but also they couldn't run the ball. I know that determined that they didn't try to ride Aaron Jones too hard there in
the
game.
Well, he was out. I mean, he was out. He got hurt, right? So he only had like 6 carries. Well,
he got banged up with that terrible fumble too, but then A.J. Dillon came in there and did a nice job, Jamal Witt. But they couldn't really ride the run game the way they have.
Yeah, their defense was solid. Their defense,
and you just couldn't
pressure,
run on them.
But they have like 4 sacks on Rodgers, and you know, and conversely, Packers couldn't get a. And I've been praising Mike Pettine in that defense for the last 7 weeks or so. It's who ranks up against anybody in terms of like points per game, 17 points per game. They're right up there. Could not pressure Tom Brady, and that was the difference. And when they did pressure him, he threw a 50-50 ball when
right.
would complete it or something crazy. I want to ask you guys, Charlotte, 1 to 10, hard punch, Brady going to the Super Bowl on another team. 1 to 10.
God, I mean, like, I think it's a 10. It sucks.
Really?
It really sucks. Like, I've tried to... And that's why I wrote what I wrote, because I don't really know. I felt like I needed thousands of words to explain it because there are so many competing thoughts in my head. But the bottom line is it really sucks. It sucks. And I'm mad at Belichick. And I'm also, you know, I'm like, well, I mean, you know, it takes two to tango. Maybe Brady had said, I'm just like, oh, God, yeah. It's just awful. It's really, it's like, It's watching dad give my, you know, the same presents to his new family. It's brutal.
Let me ask you this. I mean, this is what I recommend to anyone struggling with that, how to root for Tom. You need to start gambling. You have one more chance to start gambling on Tom. But by the way,
yeah.
Charlotte's the best gambler on this network. She's hit 6 in a row and really 7 if you include her over in the Packers game. It's insanity what she's done. The last few bet on Tom Brady. This is what I have some Patriots fans like. Yeah, we're just betting on Tom Brady. It hurts a little less. Maybe you could bring that 9 or 10.
I don't
down
think
to
so.
A 6.
I don't think I think I'm too emotionally. I think I'm too messed up to bet on it. I think I need to just like, I can't have any rooting into. I need to just be like, this is happening. I'm going to be very zen about it. Also, I just want to say it shows you how much this messed me up. Brady being in the Super Bowl with the Bucks. That I didn't even start this episode by gloating and being absolutely insufferable about how good I am at gambling now.
I know.
That's how you know. I was going to be so obnoxious, and then I forgot to be obnoxious because I was too upset.
I gave you the opportunity. I started with the extra points for extra pay parlay.
I know. And, I can't believe it. That,
all right. Well, then I made up for it there, I think. Charlotte's hit 6 in a row. Unbelievable. Swept last weekend, 4 games. Swept this past weekend, 2 games. Good job by you. Dave, I ask you the same question, and I expect the answer to be considerably lower, the number. 1 to 10, how much does it hurt that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are in the Super Bowl?
Listen, as a Steelers fan, I think the legitimate question is at this level is like the ring count, like by franchise. I mean, I know you as a Dallas Cowboys fan and San Francisco 49ers fans, and everybody gets into that. I mean, Tom Brady, the individual, has now outdone all these friends. It's just hard to fathom. If they were more prominent in with either team, it would hurt. Doesn't really hurt me that these two guys, they were dressed as I was dressed yesterday watching the game.
So you want to give it a 2, a 1 or a 2?
I'll give it a 2 or 3.
I guess that changes.
I'll give it a 2 or a 10.
Let's get the gang back together now, right? Let's let bygones be bygones. Let's get Ben and Bell and Brown. No, let's not do that.
They got that out of their system. They should come back. Well, I guess it's different if Antonio Brown scores 3 touchdowns and is doing dances in Tampa at 55. So,
but by the way, as far as that goes, Sal, I don't think it's too early. We have the opening line, and you're encouraging Patriots fans to bet on Tom Brady. Antonio Brown back in there now. I mean, you know, and Eric Fisher out. My initial thought was the reason Tampa's not as much fun getting there is because KC would be able to work him over. And then I thought, I don't necessarily know that that's true. And maybe this is, we always get lucky with these Super Bowls. Sal and I grew up in a time when pretty much every Super Bowl stunk. It was a blowout.
Yep.
And I don't know why that syndrome plagued us for like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
But now pretty much every Super Bowl is good with a couple of exceptions that stand out there. Is this going to be, let me ask you this question, Sal, I'll give you 1 to 10 confidence that this is a dandy.
Was Packers Bucks a dandy?
Do you mean good? Does dandy mean good?
Yeah. Swell. It's going to be a dynamite game. This is going to be
do
one
you mean
of the better
dandy,
Super Bowls.
Swell or dynamite? What do you mean? Well, no.
A blend.
Pretty confident. I'm pretty confident.
Do you think this is going to be a good one? Yeah, I do. I was sort of like, they're going to whip them. The Chiefs are going to whip them. And then then you start to think about it, like, no, they're not. They're not going to.
I think
especially
this might
it's
be,
in Tampa.
Yeah. I think this might be the best Super Bowl of the past 20 years. I'm serious.
Oh, my God.
No, listen, hear me out. Hear me out. These are two guys. Could when be. Mahomes gets on the field, you're like, we're going to see some magic, unless it's against the Raiders for whatever reason. But like in a big game, high stakes, even when he's down, he's proved that he can come back from a deficit so many times that it makes watching it more exciting, because you're not sitting there being like, oh, well, they're done. You're like, okay, how is he going to come back? And Brady is a guy, he takes the field and you're like, even if it's, you know, they could be down 25 points and he can still come back. And I think the fact that both of these guys are so good at coming from behind means that like, this could be a really, really fun Super Bowl. It could also be terrible, but yeah, any game can always be terrible. And I think that this is like, I really do think that this is most likely to be, I'm just super psyched because they're both so confident. And I can't remember a matchup where it had, I don't think there's an underdog. I don't think there's an underdog situation. You can say it's Tampa according to the odds, but like, I don't believe that. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, let's talk about the odds for a second, because I have some very smart people I talked to. I'm like, oh my God, the Chiefs should be like a four and a half point favorite here.
They're just, I thought the Bucks were going to be favored.
Well, in a way they should. So here's what happened. They don't want to move it off three because all the books, FanDuel included, there were like a dozen $500,000 bets on the Bucks plus 3.5 yesterday, the hour or 2 hours leading up to kickoff. So nobody wants to suffer that again. So if they move it to 3.5, they do it at their own peril, really. But so I'm weird. I read into a line a little. I'm like, oh, I don't want to take the Chiefs because it's scary and it's three. It's like, well, if you think they're better, just take them. We'll get to those numbers in a second. If you like the favorite will cover in the Super Bowl. 9 times out of 10 that the favorite wins, they're going to cover. It's just a weird thing. And that's what happens. But I got to say, I don't know with the Bucks. What it could be good. I think this Fisher being out is the equalizer. Like, I don't know. Watch the tape. Is this Bucks team worse than the 49ers were a year ago? 49ers who were up with 10 minutes left? Or are the Chiefs much better than that team? I think they can make it a game. I think they could be alive in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, that's the short answer is to, for me is, yeah, especially when you throw Antonio Brown back into the mix and, you know, a guy who's a playmaker, obviously that gives them a better chance. Eric Fisher being down really hurts the Chiefs. And the thing that is, you know, I know people beat this point into the ground, but you know, Jeff Schwartz, who is our Chiefs whisperer, who's as good, who's as plugged into how to defeat the Chiefs as anybody, has been saying now for 3 years, and it's absolutely right. If you can get to Patrick Mahomes with three or four guys and drop everybody else, you have a chance of slowing that offense down, maybe, you know, into the low to mid 30s. And now you take out Eric Fisher. That makes it more likely that that defensive front, which is for real in Tampa, has a chance to get after number 15 and not allow him that extra, you know, 0.3 seconds to uncork the real deep ball to Tyreek Hill. If you limit those shots and then turn it into, and you also kind of think about specifically Travis Kelce, and to talk about what Jeff Schwartz says, maybe we should just get Jeff Schwartz so I don't have to play middleman here, but, and he can tell us all these things himself. But he has pounded the table now for 3 years. I know Tyreek Hill is great and everything else, all the weapons that they have, but Travis Kelce is the difference maker for the Chiefs.
Oh man.
And as it happens, if you want who is kind of built to kind of try to take Travis Kelce away, that Tampa defense with those linebackers combined with the safeties, if they're all healthy and ready to roll, that kind of can slow down Travis Kelce.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I look at that guy. I was talking about it. His over-under for receptions was 7.5. 7.5.
Yeah, that's
it's insane for a tight end, or any pass catcher in a big game. And he had 8 with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. I mean, he's just, I now just watch the plays. I just watch his route because if Mahomes is dropping back, that's what, and he just needs a quarter of a second to get open. And I want to talk about that. Is that the best wide receiver tight end combination we've ever seen? Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? I think it is. Dave, I don't know what to put up against it. Witten and Dez.
Edelman and Gronk.
So that's the thing. So if you assign a number to these guys, Gronk is a 9 or a 10, right? Mm-hmm. Edelman's a 6, right? And the all time, like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? I know.
Edelman doesn't wind up in the Hall of Fame.
A 5?
Also, wow.
I think he does. I don't think he does.
And by the way, just as a larger point, not to get away from the subject at hand, but I really do think that all these Patriots, Belichick included, but Edelman and everybody else, their Hall of Fame bid is injured by Tom Brady doing this somewhere else. I think it kind of makes a case like, oh yeah, that was the reason this was all happening.
It's
kind of like USC in the mid-aughts. It's kind of like, well, who is really great? Who's the generational great and who is riding along? Matt Leinart was the passenger, as it turns out, and Reggie Bush was the engine. It's kind of that effect in New England at this point, not to ascribe all of the success for two decades to Tom Brady, but it kind of is.
It's tough because Edelman, you remember big catches, right? Like, so that doesn't really factor in when they lay out stats at the end of...
I like Edelman. I think big plays in the biggest moments in the sport are worthy of a long look. A lot of people push back at the numbers, the regular season numbers for Edelman, and I can see it both ways. I kind of, because I believe in merit in the big spots, I kind of, to the chagrin of a lot of people get on me about that. I kind of think maybe he deserves a vote, Julian Edelman, but we can debate that.
6,800 yards, 36 touchdowns.
I mean, his numbers don't really support him being a Hall of Famer.
But back to my question. Yes. If it's not Edelman.
Wes Chandler, Kellen Winslow. That's right, about the only one I can come up with for you.
I have that written down, but I think Kelsey's one or two spots better than...
I agree. I agree.
Right? I think,
throwing
I mean,
out
the
one
greatest.
To give you one.
He's the greatest tight end of all time.
He kind of is, right? I'm trying to think.
I mean, you look at his numbers, but also like his big plays and big moments. And he's been around longer than you think too. Like he's been in the, what is it, 9 years now?
Yeah. Yes. It's right around there. Yeah. He's been.
He kind of quietly, and he's such a, I don't know. I love Travis Kelce. He might be one of my favorite athletes I've ever, interviewed. We rode a roller coaster together for a video once, like last year after the, and this isn't, I know that being a fun guy doesn't mean that you're a great football player, but
yes,
I find something, I'm a great football player. I'm a fun guy. I feel like there's something that, he's so easy to root for. And it's so nice that someone who's, if you're that good, you don't have to be that nice to media. You don't have to be that conscientious. And the fact that he is, I think is very endearing.
I don't want to sell Gronk short. He's right up there with Kelce. Look, Dave, you play fantasy, right? I mean, there was a couple of years where if you just took out his touchdowns, he still is the highest scoring tight end in the league. And he'd have like 17 touchdowns or something crazy.
Sorry, well, I kind of forgot about Gronk.
And I feel like he was getting mauled a lot more than Kelce. By the nature of having to cover him. So if you go by like first downs, if that's a stat, it's probably even. But to me, it's the pairing. I selfishly put Witten and Dez up there. I put Novacek and Irvin. I don't know, Dave. Who else? Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez. I still don't think Novacek, right?
That's a great one. Wait, who'd you just go with? Roddy White?
Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez.
And Tony Gonzalez.
I think these all fall short of Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Well, I mean, I think you can even expand it then to pass catchers. Who's got the best duo of pass catchers you've ever
seen?
Then
there's a lot. Yeah.
If you really want to get in the Wayback Machine and start talking about, John Mackey and Raymond Berry. I mean, like, I don't know how far back you want to dig. You could get duos,
wide receivers right now.
I'm talking about tight end. Like, if you go with the old Baltimore Colts, but I mean, we're talking about 50, 60 years ago at that point.
I don't remember even hearing that they were uncoverable, like the Kelce's. Anyway, all right, let's break down that Kansas City-Buffalo game. To me, it's simple. Why the hell are teams kicking field goals against Kansas City ever? It's different if you catch their offense on a bad day, like they were against Atlanta like a month ago, but that clearly wasn't the case. This offense was clicking. They were inspired by everyone saying, well, they haven't covered in forever. And, Mahomes is, they shot Mahomes' toe up with God knows what. He didn't look any worse for wear. He was as good as he's ever been. I cleared him. You remember Tuesday, I broke news that he's playing.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way.
Well, I wouldn't have done that if I didn't think he was ready, and he was. And he played at a very high level. And for God's sakes, why, Sean McDermott, are you going for a field goal when you know the Chiefs aren't done scoring? What the hell? What goes on here?
I feel like what we saw yesterday from both the Bills coaching staff and the Packers, I really do feel like they got a little rattled under pressure. I feel like they made decisions that I'm not sure they would have made in regular season games. I mean, I know we're talking about the Bills. I cannot get over the single coverage touchdown at the end of the first. Like it feels like there was some sort of come apart, you know, where like, you know, that if you're playing the Chiefs, you're going to have to score touchdowns. That is the only possible way you can beat them. So you either have to go for it and you have to go big and be like, we might lose by a lot or we could win. It's not like we're going to win by doing these small incremental moves. Like that's just how it is. And so I think you have to be willing to either take a huge loss at the risk of a win.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, it's just you losing by less isn't going to make you look better against the Chiefs in this case. Because so you're funny. Still going to lose.
They went up 9-0 because Hardman muffs the punt there and leads to a but all of a sudden, time of possession was like 13 minutes to 3 minutes, a minute into the first quarter. And it's like, now it's 14-9. And it's 14-9, the game was over. Like they're just not losing that game. I want to blame the field goals. They probably weren't going to catch up anyway. But Dave, I was talking about it yesterday. Does it pay to get this far as a coach? Because you're almost 9 out of 10 times going to show how bad you are in game situations. I feel like we've heard about Sean Payton won a Super Bowl with the onside kick, Doug Peterson with the Philly special. 9 out of 10 times, it's a coach making a terrible decision. It's dumb to say, is it worth it getting this far? But for God's sakes, every single week we see something like that. Anyone who's played 10 minutes of Sega Genesis or Madden knows is a bad call. And this was another one.
Yeah, it's weird because it's sort of like we talked about last week that the sad irony that the only people that don't know the truth about it, speaking of a football game, the only human beings watching the game that don't know the correct call at any given time when there's a yellow flag on the field are the people that are going to make the call ultimately, the referees. We all have the benefit of HDTV and we can see like, no, you're screwing that call up, ref, and they're the only one. It's the same thing. The only people at this point in our Lord's year 2021, in our first month here in 2021, the only people that don't understand that you got to keep your foot on the gas are these handful of head coaches, you know, who harumph at the rest of us. But clearly that's the case. I almost wonder if Andy Reid, when he had Chad Henne throw on that fourth down, I wonder what happens if Chad Henne throws that ball and it lands on the ground, what the fallout is of that. You know, would we be saying like Andy Reid went too far? What if the Browns end up winning that game?
Think we'd be calling for it. We'd say that's nuts. The guy threw a floater of it. Oh my God. They'd call his Hall of Fame credentials in the question. Well, we're everyone, fans are idiots. So yes, but I think that would be the narrative.
But the magical, coach, right?
That should just be the whole podcast. Fans, like every idiots. Day we come on and we say fans are idiots. Thanks. Anyway, just a reminder.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What do you think? The magical thinking required from Sean McDermott that the three versus going for a touchdown there was good because, well, now we're just two scores down. We're down. It almost makes it's more forgivable if the kicker hadn't missed the extra point, because if that makes it a one score game, theoretically, as you go in at halftime, like, well, it's a one score game. We just need a touchdown and the 2-point conversion. But even that requires some real optimism that the Chiefs, that you're going to somehow silence that offense in the second half, is ridiculous. Going forward now in the copycat league, now another offseason to really meditate on this. Is there any team out there? You saw Tomlin not go for it when he should have. You saw Vrabel go for it when he not go for it when he should have. There were examples just in these last few weeks.
There's too many good things that could happen offensively in this day and age.
They're going to go for it now, right? Yeah. Aren't they? I mean, like every coach, it's going to become just the standard operating practice that you go for it.
I would
You know that high school coach who
never punted.
They won 3 state championships. statistically, if you want to do this, I feel like what ends up happening is that coaches galaxy brain themselves in terms of either going for it or not going for it. And I feel like you either have to go for it all the time or not go for it all the time. And now the numbers bear that out. It's like, you got to choose one or the other, because if you mix it, you're going to do the wrong thing and you're going to look like an idiot because everyone sitting at home is going to be saying, never punt, or, you know, why'd you punt? You know, like it, if you have a party line where you're like, I'm Andy Reid and we always go for it. When you mess up, people will be like, oh, well, he's Andy Reid. He always goes for it. You
know, I guess.
Like you need to protect yourself.
This is our policy. And I love reading those articles about the high school teams that go for, but you really you have to have the horses to do that. If the Chiefs could get away with it, probably at the end of the year, it wouldn't make much of a difference. The Jaguars would lose by 45 points every game.
but I'll say, you know, Charlotte's exactly right. I don't resent if you go to Vegas for the weekend and you're with somebody who's like I don't hit on 16 at the blackjack table, like as long as you do that the whole time, what I can't have is the back and forth, like I feel good about this hand. No, you either do it every time or you never do it.
Yeah,
and I think that's right.
Let me ask you this, in terms of Twitter outrage, which everything should be based on, but I've seen a shift over the years, and I have a theory why it's case. So fans are outraged at quarterbacks. I think the top three are quarterbacks, referees, and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think referees and coaches have jumped to one and two, and quarterbacks are third. It might be because of gambling. I think people don't want to admit that they're wrong and they back the wrong quarterback. And so it's immediate to get to blame. And same with fantasy, blame the referee or the coach. I feel like there's a shift of that, either that or coaches are worse than they were 5 years ago. Am I crazy? What do you think?
No, I think you're right that it has shifted to that, but I think it's almost simpler. I think that if you're a fan sitting at home, you identify way more with the coach or the ref. You think that if you were in the coach or the ref situation where you don't have to have a cannon for an arm, you would have made a better call. I think most people are not delusional enough to think that they could play quarterback in the NFL. So it's kind of like, oh, well, we'll leave that one up to the experts. But the refs and the coaches, I've played enough Madden, or like I have instant replay on my TV, so I know what's right. I think you feel much more, and a lot of times you're kind of right. Like a lot of times there are coaching decisions where you're like, oh, I definitely would have made a better one there, even though you probably wouldn't, because decision fatigue is very real. And if you're in it, it's very different from being relaxed at home in a different situation with your brain. So, but I think it's much more like you can relate to someone on the sidelines or watching much more than you can.
That's true. You know, and also the excruciating slow motion details of the replays are not going to work in the ref's favor, right?
Right.
Versus bang plays. And especially ones that you can't, like a pass interference that you're not going to be able to review. Now,
I actually think it has to do with the full QB saturation of pro football. Quarterbacks, even the bad ones, are all way better than the crummy ones were 15 years ago.
Right.
It's hard to shoot too many slings and arrows at the QBs when they're all supreme performers at this point. The other side of that, to play devil's damage to that, is though, I encourage you, nay, demand that you take a tour around the Twitterverse on the banks of the Three Rivers, Sal, because there are a lot of people very upset with the Hall of Fame QB that they have there and his unwillingness apparently to retire or otherwise, because there are a lot of people very upset that it's Tomlin, and whoever else, but there's a QB wearing number 7 there that people are very cross with, and apparently he's worse than Bubby Brister on his worst day, and this is holding back the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think when the season is over, I could see it leveling out and like, oh, let's take a look at our quarterback. But game to game, maybe this premise is wrong, but I just feel like when I'm looking at Twitter, it's like, and I'm as much to blame, referees, coaches, quarterbacks, third. But
you're also not seeing, though, to Dave's point, you're not seeing like a Mark Sanchez come in for Washington, you know, that I feel like we haven't had a situation like that in,
Taylor Heineke comes in and does okay. I mean, like that should pull the curtain back a little bit for everybody. Like if a guy can run out onto the field, if Justin Herbert with zero, I know this was feels like 27 years ago that Justin Herbert played in his first game.
I know, I was like,
game,
who?
But like, yeah, it should be an indication that it's not that hard because of the rules. I know I'll get notes like, not that hard. I understand it's hard to do well in pro football, but you know what I mean. The rules are now bent in that direction that it's hard that if you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you get my point.
Hey, let's talk right now, FanDuel, because they've been so good to us, and let's be good to them for a minute. You can celebrate the 55th edition of the big game. Oh, yeah. We have to say the big game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, shame on you. New users can bet on either team, get 55-1 odds when Tampa Bay takes on Kansas City. $5 gets you 275. Just pick the winner on February 7th. Easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. You have live betting. You place your bet fast during game. If you see like a trend you like, they have a great range of betting options, player props, futures, whatever you're looking for. FanDuel has a heap of options. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code Extra Points to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. They got it all there. Boy, they had a million props up yesterday. I was getting dizzy. It was really the Cheesecake Factory menu where I just like, here, just give me the grilled tacos and I'll be done. Like, I've eaten grilled tacos. Come on. FanDuel Sportsbook now live in Michigan and Virginia. Welcome to the FanDuel family right there. Promo code Extra Points to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Let's hit on this Super Bowl a little more. We read Brady's stats are insane. First of all, making the championship game 14 out of 19 years. That's my favorite. But 33 playoff wins is crazy. Like Dave says, we take him out of the football discussion now. It's against other athletes. And then even then, Secretariat? Do we go Brady against Secretariat, the horse, the Triple Crown winner? I mean,
I honestly feel like at this point, Serena Williams might be the only one who has, you know, titles-wise enough of a... And if she were to win more Grand Slams, it would come close, I think, at this point. I mean, she's already like, but to me, it does seem to surpass Jordan right now. And she's the only other one up there where I'm like, okay, that's, you know.
Maybe Tiger. I ended up liking the second part of that documentary. I'm watching that today.
All that's right. What I'm doing I'm after I work
it.
Today.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Don't tell me I don't know what happened. He wins the Masters. Real life.
He won the Masters a couple of years ago. Had bad back problems. DUI. Now Mahomes, 26-1. He basically said, "Take your MVP, Aaron Rodgers. I don't give a crap. Remember me. I'm 26-1. 26 out of 27 games. He has been. This is an insane stat. He's been to two Super Bowls before ever losing a game by more than one possession.
Wait.
What does that mean?
Two Super Bowls
in that span. In the span of time that he's made it to two Super Bowls, he has not lost a game by more than one possession.
What?
By more than 7 or 8 points.
Is that real?
That's literally true. Wow, that's amazing.
I read it. His last loss by more than one possession was 2016 versus Iowa State, which I don't even believe was a pro team. I think they're going back to his college years.
But they did wear the Chiefs colors, which is weird.
Oh, that's true. So maybe he knew what was to come. Now, listen, we've talked about the breakdown of quarterbacks and, you know, coaches and what kind of referees involvement is going to matter in this Super Bowl. But the thing everyone wants to know about is the color combination in this year's Super Bowl 55 or Big Game 55. Dave, take it away. Seems on the surface not too exciting, red on red, but let's talk to Dave Damashek, our uniformant.
Dave Damashek, the uniformant. Dave Damashek, the uniformant. Dave Damashek, the uniformant. Dave Damashek, the uniformant.
That is so stupid.
Snap.
It reminds me of the Magic School Bus theme song.
Yes, it does. Dave, I think I know where you're going with this. Charlotte, do you predict Dave is going to be happy or displeased with the Super Bowl matchup?
I don't know. I just know one fun fact about the uniform matchup that I'm intrigued to see how it affects his decision.
Okay, what is it? Do you want to? Maybe he's unaware of it. What is it?
Dave, you want to go first? Or do you want me to say my one fun uniform fact?
That it's the exact same whatever
Pantone color. Yes, yeah,
Pantone color. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
That's all. I want to know what you think.
So
about
this
that.
Can't be good then.
No, listen, it's nice when the two teams in a matchup share one color, an accent color. If one team, it's their primary color, and the other team, it's an accent color. It can work, but we are plagued by red here. The only thing I can really say about this one is, and it's ironic given my generally sunny disposition, we need the skies to open in the Tampa St. Pete area and create a deluge so that this will be a visually compelling matchup. As it is, the Buccaneers did exactly what they couldn't have done. I did my best to implore someone with a sense of fashion in the Tampa Bay organization to do the right thing. Do like some of your forefathers have done. When you run the table as a wild card in road games, stick with that theme and stay white, and it would be better for our eyeballs as a result. If the Buccaneers, even though they're at home, would wear their white jerseys and allow Kansas City to wear their red, it's a little bit more palatable. In fact, it veers into being kind of nice. As it is now, it's going to be a red nightmare for 3.5 hours.
I can't remember what Kansas City's road jerseys are.
The white jersey with the red pants, that would have been something. I would even go so crazy. I mean, this is really, these are desperate times, and I don't know why the Buccaneers couldn't do this if they had to. A lot of people have let me know that they think that the Bucs should just go creamsicle. Mm-hmm. But we know that's not going to happen.
Nah.
And by the way, that would only be a marginal upgrade at that, because we're still talking about two summer colors. So what we're talking about here is you can't have the hot colors, orange versus red and all that kind of stuff. It's too much. It summons Nolan Ryan, Jose Cruz era, Houston Astros, that rainbow uniform.
I like those.
It's just not going to work. Here's the thing. Maybe the Buccaneers, if they would go all pewter. Now, that's a disgrace. Tom Brady, a 43-year-old man, shouldn't be dressed in head-to-toe pewter. But desperate times, desperate measures. That's the only thing that can salvage this one, aside from a rainstorm, like I said.
That would make it nice. What is the matchup right now? Like, what are the uniform? I can't...
Red jersey, pewter pants, pewter hat against red hat, red pants. Too much red.
Wait. But the Chiefs are wearing white on top.
Yeah, white jersey.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Here's the thing. And people get very cavalier about this stuff. And who cares? Listen,
Cavaliers are orange. Oh no. Here's well, yeah.
Here these Super Bowl highlights. This is a crazy thing. I know. Makes me an obsessive weirdo. But I hate that Emmitt Smith, when he breaks the all-time rushing record, is playing the Seattle Seahawks. And now, when it happened, I was with, if I'm not mistaken, I was with Sal, maybe when that was broken. Mm. And I remember in the moment commenting and Sal being a little cross with me for it. Maybe I've created this in my brain. But I feel like I was like, but now we're always going to have to see the highlights in those weird, shiny seafoam Seahawks uniforms. And that stinks. And it's the same thing as the Steelers in Super Bowl 40. It's those memories are damaged by those terrible Seahawks uniforms. Same thing. One of the
you were trying to take away from Emmitt Smith's big moment. That's probably why I was cross with you. I was like, why do we have to go right to uniforms here? Just broke one of the great records in football.
All right. It also proves that all records are do not categorize somebody as the greatest to ever do it just because they have the most.
That's true.
But anyhow,
take that, Tom Brady.
Yes. And similarly, one of the great Super Bowls of all time is Super Bowl 49. From start to finish, Patriots, Seahawks, obviously Malcolm Butler ends it.
Oh,
the shame of it
is
that when you look back at the highlights, it's so dreary. It's so it's like a film noir of football or something. It's all navy everywhere. Blah, it's so boring. I don't like this. These highlights are with us forever. We watch NFL films forever. In better days when John Facenda would voice it over for us. But nevertheless, we're going to see these highlights forever. And now we have this stinker to look at. Every time you see it, it's going to be like, ah, he's terrible. Red on red, blech.
I wonder if we're close to being able to create our own highlights. Like you could change, much like you can on, like I mentioned, Madden. You could change the uniforms as you're watching historical clips, like you said. No, it's probably not going to happen. All right, Charlotte, you don't have the gravitas of the uniform, but now that you know the matchups, what are your thoughts on the colors?
Hot colors, when it's like, you know, an orange or like the Browns Chiefs was offensive to me. I really hate when it, like, I thought Bills Chiefs was one of the most pleasing matchups I've seen in a long time. I loved it. But the one
very,
reason,
very AFC NFC Pro Bowl yesteryear when the one team wore red. Yeah. Right.
Which I'm into. I like that. I like the contrast. But I do think that the one thing that saves this a little bit for me is that it is the exact same color. For me, what drives me the most crazy is if it's like a slightly more orangey red versus slightly more purpley red. I hate it so much. But if it's the same red and you've got the bottoms red and then the tops white and then the tops red and, you know, you've got gray, the gray kind of bothers me. But I do think that because it's the same color, it won't be quite as bad as it could have been.
Charlotte gets it. That's all I can tell you. She got that exactly right.
Thank you.
Well,
no one ever says that. Can we just clip that off? Dave's saying
it would be way worse if it was not the same red. That is what really ruins it.
You want to hear my take? Because I think I have a pretty an in-depth look at what you guys just said.
Oh, everybody get real comfy in their chair. Here comes Sal the curmudgeon. Here we go.
I feel like I gave you a nicer intro than that, but I'm no curmudgeon here. I'm gonna say it doesn't matter.
Who cares
what the uniforms look like? Who cares what the highlights look like? I look at the ball. I look at what the play.
Oh my God!
Sal's a football man.
I care about football.
I'm sorry, GQ.
This is GQ. Sal's a football man. Yeah. Who cares?
Dave, remember what it looks like? What are you talking about? Dave, I guarantee. Remember when Fox highlighted the hockey puck because people had trouble seeing the puck? I guarantee you hated that, right? Because you want to watch what's on the ice. You follow the puck in your mind. Yes. You don't need to see anything essential. I don't care if they're out there, but just wearing their pads. Give me a break. Now, I'll tell you this, though.
That would be wild.
Let's try it once. Let's try it once. Just to everybody just
like
in their
the
pads
lingerie football
undershirt.
League.
Beautiful.
I mean, yeah. I love to extend that logic to other things. Like, would you be all right replacing Michelle Pfeiffer in every movie that she's been in with a homely person? I mean, like, of course it matters what things look like.
No, she stays. She stays, but I don't care that she's wearing Marshalls or Forever 21. She stays. Tom Brady's still in the game.
This is where I differ completely, Sal. Clothes matter.
Oh, no, you don't.
This is like my Tom Brady argument, is that I need uniforms to matter and I need clothes to matter. Otherwise, I can't justify the amount of money I've spent on them over the years.
All right. Okay. Maybe.
What are you talking about? You look at it for 3.5 hours and not just in this Super Bowl, but for 4 months every year. The notion that it doesn't matter is just
it doesn't matter. No one's not going
to
watch because of the uniform.
It's like it's neither here nor there. Even though I'm going to look at it.
Fashion nihilist.
When you say it matters, is one person in the country out of tens and tens of millions of people watching and around the world going to say, "Nope, don't like this color combination. Goodbye. I'm going to watch Bridgerton."
I guarantee you there's one person. There are millions of people.
Let's find them. If there is somebody, please, please, please write into the extrapointsgang@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you are not going to watch the Super Bowl because of the uniforms, let us know.
See you at the red carpet day. I will say this has been a success. If for no other reason, we got to hear Dave say the words pewter and deluge. So, A plus.
And I think I like that there's something offensive to you, Dave, about a 43-year-old man having to wear gray.
Something offensive is he builds his life around it. He hates it.
That's beneath him, isn't it? He's like, this is as accomplished a human being in the history of the sport. And we're going to throw him out there in pewter if we have to.
Pewter?
Yes, because it'll look all right. You know what? It would look nice, but fine. All right. The one who's wrong here is not me. It's the curmudgeon Sal.
I'm not a curmudgeon.
Who's once again I don't care providing about the bona fides for all the football men out there. Like, I don't care about football. I can't imagine, man, please. When the Penguins won,
you're the Stanley curmudgeon. Cups, everybody needs to be metallic, dressed a certain way.
They wore metallic Saints gold instead of the true Pittsburgh black and gold that you see on the Steelers. But the Penguins, they devoted and they won Stanley Cups in that. And I can tell you honestly that while they were winning Stanley Cups, it distracted me and it upset me a little bit. And I would think as they're lifting the Stanley Cup or in game 7 against the Detroit Red Wings, I would think to myself periodically, I wish they were in the real Pittsburgh black and gold, not in this ugly metallic gold.
You're the curmudgeon then. Not me.
My eyes aren't going to lie to me. They tell me what I need.
Get your army fatigues on, young man. Get your affairs in order here. What do you think this is? Come on. Who cares what they're wearing? Cares? I'm betting over-unders for receptions. I don't care what they're wearing.
I didn't say it impacts the result. I just say it impacts my enjoyment of the result.
Just yours. And you'll probably watch the game. You'll watch the game.
I didn't say I won't watch. That's why that's the point. I'm going to watch. That's my point. I want it to look nice for my eyes. And that's why I go back to, I was promised muck and mire in the title games. I got none of it. I demand now that the skies open on this Super Bowl to make it jazzy.
All right. And that's the deluge you spoke of, right? All right. I'm good. I'm good with the skies opening.
Let's, very biblical.
Guys, I think we need to take a water break. I really do. I'm exhausted.
Let's do it. I'm so tired.
Crown Royal believes being a royal fan this season means staying safe, generously supporting your community, and drinking responsibly while rooting on your team. That's how to crown your game day. My Crown Royal Athlete of the Week, Dustin Poirier. Yes, I'm saying it right. He went in there. He disposed of Conor McGregor. I had him. I rarely take an underdog in these pugilistic affairs, but I did. Dustin Poirier was almost a 2.5-to-1 underdog. The diamond went out there, and he kicked the crap out of Conor McGregor. Not literally, but he kicked that leg, actually mercilessly kicked the front leg of Conor McGregor, and then opening up and creating space for a second-round flurry, completely dominating him. McGregor, after the fight, said his leg was completely dead, just like your career, Conor. Step aside, Dustin Poirier. Yes, made me money, and he's my Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. Charlotte, who's yours?
My Crown Royal Athlete of the Week is not a winner, but he's not a loser. It's Josh Allen, who I think made the most impressive jump from one year to the next that I've ever seen a quarterback make. The Bills went 13-3. They won the AFC East. They brought playoff games back to Buffalo. Sure, they didn't make it to the big game, but I think that Josh Allen deserves a whole lot of respect. I also think that if he can make a jump like he did from one year to the next, then this Bills team is going to be formidable for years to come. And I know that Dave's about to make fun of me for saying that, but I think it's important to shout that out. And I hope that Bills fans, if you're sad, I hope you're also like, okay, well, at least we don't have to deal with being a part of Tom Brady's narrative.
It's America's team. He shouldn't shout it down at all. I'll say this, Charlotte. I think you're right. I think we'd have to look this up. Has there been a bigger jump? And Dave, you've championed this narrative from, what is it, third year to fourth year? Mm-hmm. I get rookie to second year, we've seen it, right?
Right.
That makes sense. This is 3-4, right? I don't think we've seen...
Or is it...
Is this 2-3?
2-3.
This is year 3 for Josh Allen.
No, it's 2-3.
Okay. I don't know. I think she's onto something there.
Well, listen, your pal Tony Romo has joined. I mean, he's unique and has been great up in the booth, but he's fallen into the same trap that every broadcaster does as a team season ends in pro football and generally in most sports. As the losing team watches the clock tick down on their season, Tony Romo got into it again, like same thing as he did last week in the same stadium. The Cleveland Browns, don't hang your head. The future is so bright. You're going to be right back here next year. Then says the exact same thing about the Buffalo Bills. They're going to
be
right back here.
Teams.
That's fine.
Everybody can't be back every time to every situation
that they
just got back to.
But the Browns and the Bills can, Dave.
Maybe. Why not those two teams? Why not?
I, Because that because you can only inhabit the same level. Okay, the Cleveland Browns will get to the divisional round next year, and the Bills are going to get to the championship round next year. It's the same logic as this young man has multiple Lombardi trophies.
You got to say something, Dave, but you got to give those fans in their hour of need, you got to be like, hey, guys, don't despair.
Yeah, and also well, it's the end of the game. And, Dave, maybe you don't understand the beauty of filling time. I mean, just because you're not able to do it, these broadcasters somehow have to do it. They have to put it together. I don't think that's too much of a strike.
You know what would have been interesting? If Tony Romo would have devoted 60 or 90 seconds to discussing the uniform matchup upcoming.
That's true. He's calling the game. He's got time. CBS has the game, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Here's something that provides excitement for the people in Foxborough licking their wounds right now, wondering if Bill Belichick was the passenger to Tom Brady driving a championship car for all those years. And all over football America, we talk about QB saturation all the time, that there are good, viable options for you at sports' most important position here in 2021. And before you know it, things will kick off in the regular season of 2021. And I think that we may, and this might sound hyperbolic, we've had the QB carousel spin fast and hard in the recent years, but I suspect we have yet to see it spin as fast as it will spin this offseason. Matthew Stafford now is out on the market. Deshaun Watson, maybe two. I've made a list for you. Two are fixed in Miami. We don't know. Jimmy G, is he going to stay in San Francisco? Derek Carr, Cam, Big Ben, is he going to stay? Sam Darnold, Jameis, Aaron Rodgers, is he really going to move? I don't know about that one. Goff, questions there in Los Angeles. Dak, Matt Ryan, maybe they draft his replacement and he could move. I think we're going to see double-digit quarterbacks moving across pro football, and this is exciting, and that's why I'm going to make all the quarterbacks who are jumping on the QB carousel here and now my athlete of the week.
Wow.
Because it's going to make – only one team gets to be happy. You see? You see Steelers fans, all this belly aching about that. You think Bills fans are happy today? You think Packers fans are any happier than you are, Steelers fans? Settle down. Only one team gets to be happy. The future is bright, though, for all those teams that are about to swap out their QBs. Even if it's phony optimism, you're going to have a reason to get excited because Matthew Stafford may land in your backyard, for all you know.
Wow. I hope you're not right. I mean, I hope it's not 12. I don't want this turning into the NBA where you got to buy a new jersey every 4 months for these guys.
Maybe it's going to be. Isn't it going to be 10?
No,
it's going to be like, I mean, count them up.
It doesn't have to be. It could still not that we've seen a year like this before, but I think it's between 3 and 4.
I'm going to have to get flashcards out and write who's on which team. You know, Matt Stafford, right. Turn it over.
It's
well, standard. Well, you know for a fact that Jacksonville is going to have a different starter.
Well, if you're, a couple teams so always one. Draft quarterbacks. Yeah, sure. There's
and then
always
if
that.
You, and then if you put in Zach Wilson or Justin Fields in with the Jets or Deshaun Watson, then that means Sam Darnold is somewhere else. And is he starting wherever he goes?
Maybe not.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense to send Sam Darnold down to Houston and with a bevy of first rounders in exchange for Deshaun Watson. I think that's the way this thing's going to
go. The Stafford thing, we know he's going to a different team, right? He's cut ties with Detroit, but I don't think there's as many suitors as people think. I think there's like three teams that, first of all, it's a $20 million cap hit in a year where the cap is being lowered, right? So I think three teams are in the mix, and you just keep hearing about the Colts. And it's funny with Aaron Rodgers. As a Cowboys fan, it's been floated like, Rodgers back with McCarthy. What do you think? What do you think? I'm like, I'll stop. And I'm like, oh, boy, that would be fun.
No, I think
he would not go there. Aaron Rodgers would not go play.
I know he would. I don't think he would either. I don't think he would either.
The place for him is San Francisco.
Now I'm hearing San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he stays. I think he stays in Grove, though he did say he doesn't know. But I'll tell you one thing. There's one thing we can count on. And that's that the Patriots are going to start the 2021 season with Jarrett Stidham. So
it does seem that way.
Everybody enjoy that. Yes, I guarantee. I will bet a lot of money.
Okay, this is going to be. I'll bet you on whatever you want that that's not the case. There's no way. Bill Belichick now definitely, if he didn't need it this year.
You don't get it, Dave. He's going to double down on being more Belichick than he was before. And he's going to be like, I can do it with Stidham. And then he's not going to make the playoffs again.
It could be, but he could double down and it could not be Stidham also. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's going to be Jared Stidham. It's going to be Jared Stidham.
Well, you know who was right all along? Dave Damashek about this. I said Bill Belichick, what he should do. And then he signed Cam. And I said, I don't love this move for Belichick. If he would have rolled with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer and gone 7-9 or 6-10 or whatever, everybody would say, yeah, but he had to go with Jared Stidham. So what was going to happen?
They would have said he did this with Cam.
Now it's kind of like, ooh, this is a bad look for Belichick. Brady leaves and he falls on his face. At least if he said, yeah, but we were running with Jared Stidham. What did you want from
him? I know, but how many times are you going to get away with this? Yeah, we don't draft skill position players. Well, we don't start with a quarterback that anyone cares about. Like, eventually,
we trade down. Look at us. Look how good we are.
I don't think he can afford to do that.
We're not that good.
I think. And Romo said this too, by the way, Sal. And I'll tell you, Romo, with a subtle shout out that we've talked about, he said about like 5-6 weeks ago, in the midst of a blowout against the Bucs, he said, oh, you know what? Tom Brady and that offense has figured something out here in the second half here. They're gonna be in good shape going forward here. You watch out for this team. It was weird. I don't know what he saw, and I would love to ask him. Or Sal, you could ask him about the uniforms first, and then secondly, ask him about that. What did he see that made him think that the future suddenly became bright?
I think it's like City Slickers, and he'll just turn around like Curly and say, it's the one thing that I saw, and you got to figure it out. It's you that has to figure it out. And it's like, oh, wow.
That's seems a movie with the
seems unnecessary to play a game.
That's exactly
like that,
right.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, that was our Crown Royal water break, believe it or not. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit @CrownRoyal on Instagram. All right. We've gone on quite a bit here. Let's wrap things up. Charlotte, why can't I say your name today? You're at the Wilder Things. Where the hell else are you at? What else going on?
I'm currently in an Airbnb because we're doing some cool stuff next week. And for Fox Digital, I'll be in a studio. So it'll be nice to do some cool interviews from a place that's not my home. And then we won't have to stare at this hideous piece of Airbnb wall art. But I'm having a great time in my little Airbnb. It's very cozy.
I'm digging it. Will you give anyone a clue? Is it in Bubble Rock? Is it in the Bubble Rock facility, or do they make you travel further?
I don't want the people to get too excited.
I got you.
But it's in the same city that you guys are in. So maybe if I can not get COVID from traveling and finish out this quarantine, we can stand very far away from each other outside and meet in person for the first time.
That would be something
ever.
Special. So right now we're probably about 15 miles away from each other. Mm-hmm. You're saying even closer than that it could happen. Wow.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
At the Wilder Things, check her out. She's written about Tom Brady begrudgingly. She
something new and different.
Nice job. It's really stained with tears. You could see it in the article. You could see the
thank you for
tears.
Reading it, Sal. Thank you for the click.
Of course. Dave at Damashek.
That's correct. And if we do catch up at that Airbnb, I promise I will wear the same Pantone shade of turquoise that is in that painting behind
Thank
you.
Thank
so
you.
At least we have that.
I appreciate that.
Sal says it. -3 was great last week and presumably will be again. But look at Damashek, or better yet, at -3 pod, the words -3 pod, and track it down, because Eddie Spaghetti, New York Giants lover, attempts to make a case for why, if Ben Roethlisberger is definitely going to the Hall of Fame, then obviously Eli Manning is a lock and there's no question about it. That alone, find that clip on social media, because it'll give you a good chuckle, because the logic is strained at best.
-3 is great. These guys are going at it. Eddie, Spaghetti and Meatballs, they do the Steelers, they do the Penguins and Islanders. Meatballs.
Good series by the Blue Shirts, Spaghetti. Better luck next time.
I'm going under 5.5 in the Isles game, or Caps game, Meatballs. What do you think? Goaltending's been really good.
The Islanders can't score currently, so
good.
It sounds like a lock.
Okay, under 5.5 it is. You can't lose them all. That's my book. It's out tomorrow. That's ridiculous.
Hell yeah. I can't wait to read it.
Comes out tomorrow. Thank you. I'm on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night. How I got
no
that
way!
Booking.
How'd you do that? How'd you pull that one off?
I don't know.
When do you need us to zoom in?
You guys are going to come in at the very end. We're going to talk uniforms and stuff. But
can you get me in the green room? I heard it's a blast.
It is fun. You know, I grew up. It's so funny. I'm going to tell Jimmy. I watched the show. I snuck into his green room, and that's how I first watched the show. No, there's so many people who have said that.
If you don't go in there with a chest tattoo of Jimmy Kimmel to pay it forward.
Oh, you're right.
I remember in the year 1999.
Right.
And we were working on actually Fox Sports to bring it all. Look at that, how everything comes together. Fox Sports, we were writing on a trivia show together. And you were like, my cousin is on David Letterman tonight. And he is the biggest Letterman fan ever. And then we all watched it. And Jimmy took his shirt off and showed that he had a Letterman tattoo on his chest. I expect you do the same thing.
You know what was the saddest part of that is? That was the time he was on the first time and he had the same gimmick. He had this Letterman tattoo, obviously not real, but took hours to apply and he was bumped. Back then you got bumped. You got bumped a lot more than you do this year. They didn't really know how to time segments back then. So if you went long with Charles Grodin, it's like, sorry, kid, come back in 6 weeks or something. I know you live on the opposite coast, but try to make
it
work.
That's incredible.
So, yeah. But reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Wednesday.